Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, beloved. This is Sister Judith, and I welcome you to the broadcast today. I'm so glad that you could join me. And if you're a new listener, well, I welcome you and invite you to be part of our spiritual family. We meet together every day at the same time, Monday through Friday, at this station. And if at any point you miss a broadcast or you would like to hear those that are archived, feel free to go to the unveilchrist.org website and click on the podcast, and they're archived there. You can listen at your leisure and convenience. But as far as the message I've been sharing this week is from the first verse in chapter 12 of Hebrews, where it says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." Verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I won't read all of it, but for the joy set before him, he endured the cross and is now set down at the throne of God. Praise the Lord. So what we're looking at is a sin that's common to us all, unbelief. And as we began, I shared how unbelief affects the Lord, how it affects us. How it affects the Lord, well, it disappoints him. It's a source of grief to him. And also, our lack of trust and faith insults his truthfulness, as well as hinders him from fulfilling his purposes in our lives. The results that we experience is we have a lack of joy. That's a pretty symptomatic, clear evidence that something's going on, that we're not trusting the Lord in some area. Because when we are trusting the Lord, our joy should be full. Our peace should be unruffled. We should have a song in our heart. We should be unstressed and unworried and able to be up to whatever God brings into our day, whatever is set before us, to do everything heartily as unto the Lord and not unto man. Well, that's certainly our ideal state, but we fall short of it. Why? Because that besetting sin, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily. Everything in this world is designed to bring doubt and worry and fear. But our God is greater. And so we not only have a lack of joy, we'll find that our needs are unmet. God's resources come to us in response to our believing prayers. And without faith, they're undiscovered. Many times, because we limit God, we're afraid. We don't step out to do the things that He's called us to do. We only attempt to do that which is humanly possible. So we have a fear of failure. A great scripture to stand on is, "I can do all things which strengtheneth me." And then finally, we limit God. Remember what Psalm 78 says, 40, that the children of Israel provoked Him in the wilderness. They grieved Him in the desert. They turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. And then, of course, we dishonor God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him, Hebrews 11 and 6 says. And what are the causes? Well, if we're in the flesh, if we're our carnal man has a hard time believing God, just as the unsaved, natural man does. And, you know, the things of the gospel of the Lord are just foolishness to him. Well, it's the same true in terms of our carnal stand. The carnal man it's a source of conflict with our spirit. And, you know, he has rule over his own spirit is as mighty as he who would take a city. And so we also forget You know, not only do we, in our carnality, disbelieve, limit God, but we forget and ignore the presence of God. Throughout the Word, we see God telling His servants, I'll be with thee. And also we recognize that our faith originates with God. It's a gift, and He's given us everything that we would have need of that pertains to life and godliness. So now let's get to the real heart of the matter. All right, what can we do about it? Well, I've got four remedies I'd like to share with you. The cure for unbelief and little faith. As we look at what the Word of God says in Jeremiah 32:27, what does the Lord say? He says, He's saying to you personally today, brother and sister, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? He's asking that of each one of us. We must recognize that the presence and the power of God come into our lives through the channel of faith. What are the answers? Well, beloved, we need to see the Bible as a very present possibility, that it's not just a covenant, a collection of wonderful promises that are off somewhere in the glorious future, but it's for the here and now. The Word says the Lord is a very present help in the time of trouble. Are you in trouble today in any kind of capacity? Well, He's a very present help. He's there to assist you, but you have to call unto Him. You have to believe that what He said in His Word, which is why He's given His Word to us, that it's true, that He is a faithful God. Faithful is He that's promised. So Scripture, it's not only history of what happened in the past, but beloved, think about this. It's a revelation of what can happen right now in your present. It's a love letter from Jesus to you. You know, we have to identify with biblical characters. And as we do, we can recognize that we can depend on God to respond toward us just as He did to them in ages gone by. With Him, He's no respecter of persons. He's the God of time and eternity. Nothing is too hard for Him. So whatever you're facing, He's there with you, and He will bring you through it. You will not be destroyed by this test and trial that you're going through. You know, in Hebrews 12:1, it says that we're compassed about with a great cloud of witnesses. That's a tremendous statement. All the heroes of heaven, those that have gone before, are leaning over the balconies of heaven, just watching us. And if they could speak to us, they would tell us. They'd tell you, brother, they'd tell you, sister, that God can be depended on and that you could trust Him implicitly. What a comfort, what a strength that is. And so we need to see that the Bible is not just, you know, a bunch of nice words compiled together of history, of poetry, but it's a real life, a book of action. It's our battle plan, if you will, for how to be victorious in this life. And then we can ask the Lord, since He's the author and finisher of our faith. Point number two is to pray for the gift of increasing faith. In Luke 17:5, the disciples came to Jesus. It says, and the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. Well, think about that. If He's the author, in other words, the faith we have, God has given to every man the measure of faith, right? If He's given us the faith, and it says He's the finisher of it, that means that He is empowered, He is given that authority from our Father, the Holy Spirit is enabled and empowered to breathe faith into our hearts, because we are the very children of God. And that's not just a, you know, a nice euphemism. God is a God of faith. By faith, He spoke the worlds into existence. He just spoke it, and it was. Read about it in Genesis. We know that, do we not? And so when we speak words of faith, when we speak His Word, the same kind of thing can happen. And we know that, you know, and that doesn't that take a huge burden off? So often we struggle, oh, I've just got to have faith. I just got to have more faith. Oh, Lord, I don't know if I've got the faith for that. I don't know if I can do that. I don't know. God, are you really going to meet that need? And we struggle. And beloved, He's given us that faith. He's given it all. The word of faith is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. Just speak it forth, beloved. And then fourthly, we need to place our confidence in the promises of God. And to the very limit of your ability and your capacity, you need to do that. You need to say, Lord, I'm trusting in you. I'm weak, but you are strong. I'm very limited in understanding. There's so much I don't know, Lord, but you have the key of all wisdom and knowledge. You know everything. You not only know my past, you know my future. You know what I'm going to expect as I go through my day. You know what I face in the future. And you're not worried when things look impossible. Think about that, beloved. Hebrews 11 and 23, the word says, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. And then also, fourthly, beloved, what is a cure for little faith, for unbelief, is to believe in God's goodness. Think of what the Lord said in the very beginning in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. After that terrible catastrophe, Adam and Eve sinned. They ate of the forbidden fruit. And in verse 15, the Lord says, he's addressing Satan, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. That bruising his heel refers, of course, to the great bruising, the suffering and death of our beautiful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But it says the devil is going to have his head bruised. More than that, he's going to be devastated. He's going to be demolished. His power, he's been robbed of his power. Jesus has triumphed openly over all principalities and powers, over all the works of darkness. And beloved, our fourth great tool, our fourth great weapon is to believe in God's goodness, to believe in his character. He's a good God. He's a faithful God. Psalm 25 and 8 says, good and upright is the Lord, therefore he will teach sinners in the way. Beloved, he has so much for us, and my time is growing. It's time to bring this broadcast to a close. And on tomorrow's broadcast, I want us to spend some time looking at the very goodness of God, his character. And beloved, I believe that will stir your faith. As we look, as we see the Bible as a present possibility, as we ask God to increase our faith, as we put our trust and confidence in the promises of God and believe in his goodness, we will have victory over unbelief. Beloved, I invite you to tune in tomorrow. The announcer is going to give you right now our contact information. Whatever needs you might have, allow me the privilege, the sacred honor of standing with you in prayer. Thank you for listening. I love you, beloved. And tomorrow, you just tune in as we bring this message to a close. God bless you. This is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
You have been listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at either P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop her an email. Again, our address is P.O. Box 218, Tracy, California, 95378, and that web address is unveiledchrist.org. And as you write, remember your prayers and tax-deductible offerings of support enable us to keep this broadcast ministry on the air. Thank you for joining us. God bless.